So our gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 4, and just a little background, this is what we read last week for our gospel, because we need to hear what happened first before we can get into this week's gospel. So it starts saying, when Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, just like Dalton did today with our scripture. Jesus stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then Jesus began to say to all in the synagogue in Nazareth, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And last week we all said, the gospel of the Lord, praise to you, O Christ. And we were done. So I'm going to invite you to be seated now, because now our gospel is going to go on. So he says, today, all these words have been fulfilled in your hearing. And we hear that all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. So the people of Nazareth, Jesus' hometown, these are people who are desperate for good news right now. They want good news for them. They have experienced horrible oppression and treatment at the hands of the Roman Empire. So life has been really hard for them. So when they hear Jesus say these words have been fulfilled, these words of freedom and release, they're amazed. They really like what they hear. But then at the same time, they start to question him. They said, is not this Joseph's son? And they're kind of like, how can this lowly carpenter be saying these words? They actually disgrace him and ridicule him. They think, how can God's word be shown through this lowly person? And Jesus pushes back. He quotes what's probably a familiar saying in his day. He said to them, doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, doctor, cure yourself. And you will say, do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum. And he said, truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. And he's going to go on to point to God's special care for the outsiders and the foreigners. The people from Jesus' homeland, they want freedom and release for them. But Jesus is going to proclaim it for all people, even beyond their borders, particularly for foreigners. He's going to tell stories from this people's past history, where it was the foreigners who showed faith when his own people did not. So he goes on to say, but the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. So I have a map up here, and it shows where Nazareth is, where Jesus is with his homeland and his home people. But then way up north, way above their border, is Sidon. It's this ancient city. They did not have great relationships with the people of Israel for centuries. And you can see the boundaries there of people in Nazareth and Galilee, and people who are outside it. And this widow from Zarephath in Sidon is most definitely a foreign outsider. So at a time when Israel was in drought, there's a huge famine, a time when Israel's leaders were unfaithful, God sent the great prophet Elijah to this widow in Sidon and finds faith there. And it's through her that Elijah experiences hospitality. Through God's work, Elijah and this foreign widow, they end up providing for each other. So Jesus pushes this crowd to hear this story that is a part of their history, to remind them of God working, of faith turning up where they don't expect it or even where they want to see it. Now, if this doesn't make the crowd mad enough, Jesus goes on talking. So he goes on to say, there were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. So we have the same map again, but this time Syria is circled, where Naaman's from. Jesus tells of Naaman, this great warrior, again a foreigner, even an enemy of sorts to the people of Israel, and also somebody who suffered from leprosy. So he's got a whole bunch of strikes against him according to Jesus' hometown. And yet God works through the great prophet Elisha to bring about healing for Naaman, to restore him. And Naaman reveals faith when the leaders of Israel had had none. So Jesus' sermon that day in the synagogue, it started out so well. Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. But when this hometown crowd hears these stories, here's what happens. When they heard all this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord. What we just read are the opening scenes of Jesus' ministry. It's how it starts. And from the start, Jesus faces opposition, even rage and violence. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon him to bring good news and release and recovery and freedom, not just for his own people, but for all people. It's because he lifts up these stories of faith that aren't just about his own heroes and his own tradition, but because he points to the places God has been working all along, far beyond the borders we humans create, and hospitality and healing and faithfulness has been found there. I think it's so easy for us today to point to this crowd in Jesus' hometown and to be shocked at their response. I'm shocked at their response, that they get so angry they want to throw him off a cliff. It's tempting for us to think we would never do that to Jesus. And I hope we would never do that. And yet, if we are never offended or challenged by the ministry of Jesus, we might not be paying attention. We hear, we believe, and we say that all that we have is God's own, our time, our energy, our resources, that it all belongs to God and it's just placed in our care to take care of. We say that here. And yet, how does that shape what we buy and spend and save and keep for ourselves every single day? How does it shape how we care for the earth God has made for our current and future generations? In Jesus, here we say that all are welcome. We have signs on our doors that say all are welcome. But where are each of us living it on the ground every day, working for it? Not just here, but how are we practicing it here so we can live it more out there? Jesus moves that first crowd then and us today to look for where God's working, and sometimes it's far beyond what we think possible or even what we want to see. And then Jesus moves us to be shaped by this, to join in God's holy work of hospitality and healing and restoration. Earlier this year, I was reading a series called My Unsung Hero. And Mark, who's a doctor, he shared a story from a time when he was a medical student, decades ago. He told about a time when he was dealing with a patient who was in the hospital for a long time for a heart condition. But this patient also struggled with a heroin addiction. He said that this patient was manipulative, he would bargain, and as Mark put it, he was the bane of his existence. Now, in the same room with this difficult patient was another patient who had a terminal illness. And this was like 40 years ago, before doctors had really figured out how to manage pain for people. And so one night at 3 a.m., Mark came into the room, and he could tell that that other patient was really struggling. He desperately needed some more pain meds. But while he'll never forget when he walked in the room was what else he saw there. He saw his patient, the one who had been manipulative and difficult. He saw him holding the other patient's head, cradling it in his hands, and wiping his brow with his towel and trying to comfort him in the middle of the night in the midst of his pain. As Mark put it, this patient was providing the care the doctors had failed to provide. And over the next 40 years, Mark said he kept that image in his mind, because it told him that there are very few people who are all good or all bad. But as he put it, he said, you'll find generosity and compassion in some unlikely circumstances. StoryCorps is an organization that tells everyday stories about people. And they have a website called Brightness in Black that is to be a celebration, a showcase of the richness and the complexity of Black life in America. On that site, one man shares that we need to give people a fuller narrative, a fuller story. In other words, like, we sometimes look at people and we decide who they are just by what we see. Or we decide who we are just by one experience with them, or one thing we've heard, and it shapes our whole view of that whole person. And what this person shared is, we need to get to know a fuller story about people. And in a sense, that's what Jesus does in our gospel reading today. He expands the story a little wider about a widow in Sidon, where all his hometown wants to know about her is she's this hated foreigner. But Jesus expands that to say, she's someone who shows great faith and great hospitality. He does the same with Naaman, this army general and leper from hated Syria. And Jesus shares his story. It's Naaman who expresses deep faith in God. The man on this site, Brightness in Black, and Jesus, they both share, people are much more than a single story that we tell about them. It reminds me of the image of a circle. I don't know if you've ever tried to invite very young children to form a circle together. They listen right away, grab hands, but you end up with a very small circle and a bunch of children left outside. So you have to keep saying to them, step back, make it a little wider, keep going, go a little wider so that everyone is included. And in a sense, Jesus is doing the same thing here. He's forming a circle of who God is for and who we as the people of God are to be for. And he's saying, step back, go a little further back until everyone is included. Father Gregory Boyle put it this way once. He's a priest that's done restorative work with gang members. He said, Jesus is making a circle of compassion so wide that no one is left standing outside. We all live in a world right now where people are being left outside the circle of compassion. Maybe we've always lived in a world where people have been left outside the circle of compassion, where people are being excluded, devalued, cast as outsiders. And Jesus says, open the circle a little wider to whom you think God is extending mercy and grace and hospitality. Because God likely has a far bigger and wider circle of compassion than we do. At least that's what it seems Jesus proclaims on that Sabbath day in his hometown so long ago. By the end of the story, as he walks through this crowd who's filled with rage, what we hear is he passes through the midst of them unharmed, and he goes on his way. May all those who seek to do God's justice, show God's hospitality and welcome beyond the normal circles and borders we create. May those who seek to do God's justice and hospitality be led by the power of the Holy Spirit, that they too pass through unharmed and go on their way to do Jesus' work all the more. This is the kind of thing that Jesus does. He relentlessly works to comfort us, to challenge us, to form our lives and the lives of so many others we would never think to include. Jesus is working to shape all our lives with his. Thanks be to God. Amen.